the German and the French. And
too, you have to do it in French as well.
No, they don't care about the English.
They don't care about it? Okay, they're perfectly bilingual on
two separate communities that don't speak to each other.
Yeah, well, that's a Swiss model too, basically.
Herr Galbraith, ich werde Ihnen zuerst eine Analyse der Situation in Europa präsentieren. Sie unterbrechen mich, sobald Sie nicht einverstanden sind mit der Analyse. I will first give you a short analysis of what's going on in Europe right now, around the euro, and you intervene as soon as you disagree. That's the game.
Europe is in the middle of a severe sovereign debt crisis.
I would say that it is principally a crisis of the banks and of banking, that the sovereign debt aspects are important, but secondary.
Viele Leute sagen, es hat vielleicht als Bankenkrise angefangen, aber jetzt ist es eine Staatsschuldenkrise.
Many people say maybe it started as a banking crisis, but now what we have is a severe sovereign debt crisis.
Well, the definition of the crisis helps to determine what it is that you propose to do about it, and the framing of the issue as a sovereign debt crisis has led European leadership to the conclusion that the proper approach is a massive attack on the state structures and the welfare states of the European peripheral countries. What they fail to take account of is that this is destroying the economies of those countries, and so it will not repair the debt ratios that they're concerned about.
Was wir in Europa sagen, ist, dass wir jetzt aus der Währungsunion eine Stabilitätsunion machen müssen. Wir müssen rauskommen aus den Schulden. Es muss Schluss sein mit Defiziten.
What politicians tell us in Europe is that this currency union now must become turn into a stability union. It must be the end of debt and surely the end of deficits.
In that case, it must also be the end of surpluses. And so it would require a fundamental reorientation of the economic policies of the countries in Northern Europe that have been running surpluses, and particularly the case of Germany, for the last decade. Because you cannot have surpluses in one part of Europe unless there are deficits in the other part. So my belief is that the conclusion I would draw is that the notion that you can deal with this problem by attacking deficits alone is an illusion, a fantastic illusion.
Würden Sie sogar widersprechen, wenn man sagt, aber sparen ist doch jetzt unerlässlich, das sehen wir doch.
Would you even disagree if I tell you, but austerity is unavoidable right now? Look at the state as Italy is in, for example.
Well, until a few weeks ago, former Prime Minister Berlusconi was saying there was no crisis in Italy. The hotels and the restaurants were full. They're now imposing a draconian austerity in Italy, which basically means that the pensions in Italy will decline, their value will decline in real terms at the rate of inflation from this time forward, which could be a very rapid decline in the value of every retired Italian's pensions. This is certainly not a necessary step. It's a devastating step, potentially, for the well-being of elderly Italians. Is it necessary? I would say it is not necessary, no. In fact, it will not solve Italy's debt problem because it will simply mean that the Italian economy will contract as the purchasing power of its elderly citizens falls.
Nehmen wir das Beispiel Irland. Da sieht man doch, dass diese Hilfsprogramme Europas funktionieren. Irland bekommt Hilfskredite und muss im Gegenzug sparen. Und wir sehen, dort führt das zu einem Ziel.
But let's have a look at Ireland. There the European program seems to work. Ireland gets credit, but only under severe austerity conditions. And the figures show Ireland is coming back to normal, slowly, but it's coming there.
I was just in Ireland less than a month ago, about a month ago, and I saw no sign that there was any significant hope of economic recovery. It is true that Ireland's economy is going to go through a major adjustment, but it's because the there was massive overbuilding of commercial real estate, to some extent residential housing, and of course the construction sector has collapsed, and so there will be massive losses of employment. But why there should be, in addition to this, why it makes sense to cut back on the provision of unemployment insurance, welfare services, healthcare services, education, it seems to me to be a strategy designed to deepen the miseries in Ireland rather than to relieve them.
Was Sie wahrscheinlich den Politikern anraten würden, ist mehr Geld auszugeben. Aber woher soll dieses Geld kommen?
You would probably suggest politicians should do the...
Oder ich muss es anders sagen. Sie würden den Politikern wahrscheinlich zum Gegenteil raten, nicht sparen, sondern Geld ausgeben. Nur, woher soll dieses Geld kommen?
You would probably suggest to many politicians to do the contrary of what they do now, namely to spend more. But where should they take the money from?
Let me clarify what I would suggest. I think that there is useful historical experience in the United States where a large part of the country for many decades following our Civil War was relatively impoverished. It was this is the American South, which was reconstructed over almost a century now by the programs and policies of the New Deal. There were two aspects to that. One of them was physical investment, construction programs, things comparable to what the European Investment Bank can do and to some extent has been doing in the peripheral regions of Europe, comparable to what the structural funds were doing. The other aspect was Social Security, a national, continental scale program of support for the retirement income of the working population. What Europe lacks is a set of programs that support everybody's, in particular, retirement incomes, some extent social services, to some extent wages, at a common continental standard. This would be a very effective offset to the austerity policies being imposed upon the European states, and it would permit the reform of governmental structures to proceed much more effectively while cushioning the effects on the population. That would be a sensible way forward.
Also den Sozialstaat ausbauen. Viele Leute sagen im Moment aber das Gegenteil. Europa kann sich diesen Wohlfahrtsstaat, den wir uns in den letzten Jahrzehnten aufgebaut und geleistet haben, nicht mehr leisten.
So basically strengthen the social welfare state, but many people say that's exactly the core problem. We cannot afford this welfare state we had. We built in the last few decades. It got too big. We don't have the cash.
Well, I think that's nonsense. The European welfare states were and continue to be a major human accomplishment. The attack on them is ideological rather than economic. It's utterly unnecessary in economic terms. It can only produce a regression of the condition of the population of Europe, and ultimately perhaps a rebellion amongst certain peoples who are afflicted by this crazy policy. The idea that there is a shortage of cash is an economic fallacy. It is something, it's an illusory statement. I'm not saying that all government programs should be funded, but money is simply a tool for making sure that the resources you have available are used in an effective and appropriate way. In the case of supporting, giving modest support to a population in of elderly people in retirement or to their healthcare services or for the education of the young, one is not drawing resources from one part of Europe to another if one funds those programs. You are simply, for the most part, providing a utilization of resources that are already there in place, of the teachers, for example, or of the people who provide healthcare services or the people who provide services and consumption goods to the elderly. They're mostly already in place, and it is a sensible use of money to assure that those resources are employed rather than supporting them in idleness and unemployment. And the current direction of European policy has been very much toward creating unemployed people who don't disappear and have to be fed and who are just as much a burden on the state doing nothing as they would be, much more of a burden, I should say, on the state doing nothing than they would be if they were actually working at something useful.
Ich frage nochmals nach. Sie sagen, Geld ist im Wesentlichen ein Werkzeug. Aber wo soll Italien dieses Werkzeug zum Beispiel jetzt noch finden? Italien hat 120% Schulden und muss auf dem Markt enorme Zinsen zahlen für frisches Geld.
I'll ask you again. You say money is basically a tool for a government, but where should the government of Italy, for example, find this tool? They have a huge debt of 120% and they have to pay enormous amounts for fresh money at the markets.
Well, it is indeed the problem that the credit markets, which were being relied upon to provide the financing to support, basically to transfer resources from the creditor to the debtor states in Europe, have failed. They have broken down. It's further, I think, a demonstrated fact that this is not something that will be repaired. There is nothing that the government of Greece or the government of Italy can do that will restore confidence, this notion that there is a psychological problem that can be repaired by a sufficient display of self-sacrifice is bizarre, and it's false. It will not be. There will never be any such repair. And the reason is very simple. Even if you have a government which is behaving in a way which is totally exemplary, which gains nothing but praise from Madame Merkel and Mr. Sarkozy, let's say the government of Portugal, an adverse event anywhere else in the European periphery will cause the investors to sell off Portugal along with all the other countries. So there is no route whereby good behavior produces a favorable result in any particular country because, as I say, everything is interdependent. So that's the situation. We should face it. What does that mean? It means that the markets, which have been relied upon to provide this kind of financing, must be replaced by something else. What's available? The only thing that I can think of that is available are the institutions of the European community, and in particular the European Central Bank. And when the European Central Bank starts behaving like the Federal Reserve behaves or like the Bank of Japan behaves, this immediate crisis, the funding problem, will go away. And it's the only way, I think, that within the current framework of European law that this can be made to happen. So it's really just a question of being realistic about what the situation actually is and what the immediate tools are to deal with it. Now, there may well be, and there is an ongoing need for public sector reform. I mean, nobody is going to argue that the Greek state is a model of efficient service delivery. But that reform has to be basically a matter of government of the Republic of Greece with the assistance of its European partners. It cannot be something that is imposed under conditions of extreme harshness, forcing the breakdown of the core social institutions of that country. In Greece, as we speak, the salary of a university professor with long experience, which is already low by international standards, has been reduced by 40%. There is no way that Greece can maintain a university system that is of an international standard that can retain any international scholars if it is basically driving those institutions into the ground. In Greece, the public health system is in severe problems. The elementary schools are in severe problems. These are problems which cannot be resolved without having minimally adequate funding for these institutions. The austerity programs are only going to make that matter worse, and this will do nothing to improve the competitiveness of the Greek economy.
Dennoch muss man sagen, also was Sie fordern von den Politikern, das braucht schon sehr viel Mut, ja gar Verwegenheit. Die sollten jetzt mitten in diesen Schulden, mitten in dieser Krise sagen, wir müssen noch mehr Geld in die Hand nehmen. Wer kann das unter den Politikern?
I get you right. You ask something very difficult from politicians. They should be really very courageous, even more than courageous, to confront the voters in this time of crisis, in this time of debt, and tell them we need even more money right now.
I think the idea that reversing the policies of austerity imposes a burden on the taxpayers of this country or that country is a false idea. It's a very widely held idea, but it's a misleading idea. What does require courage from political leaders is to admit that they are on a path which is not only not working, but it's in fact making matters worse. In fact, it's economically and in the long run probably politically suicidal for the project of the European Union. And it is always very difficult for political leaders to admit that they have been moving down the wrong pathway. They have to come back up and take another route. It's hard for people walking on mountain trails to admit that. But it seems to me that this is the necessary step. It is not one that I expect will happen under the present governments in Germany and France. But one can always hope that with some change that you might get a new set of ideas. But I agree with you, it's very difficult.
Was, wenn es nicht passiert?
What if it doesn't happen?
What will happen in along the current path is, I think, I don't anticipate an immediate or even early breakup of the Eurozone because there is no legal mechanism for a country to leave the Euro without actually exiting from the European Union. And because in the cases of the individual countries of the periphery of Greece or let's say Spain or Portugal, the consequences of an exit would be very traumatic. And I think it would be very difficult. It's very difficult to imagine that the Greek population, having been accustomed to having euro savings accounts and so on, would accept to hold in a significant amount of money in a new currency, a new drachma. And so it would be very difficult. It's not impossible that you could make that work, but it would be, I think, a very big challenge for a new drachma to hold its value. So I don't anticipate that a Greek government will take that decision unless fundamentally it's ordered to take it by the more powerful countries to the north. So that being so, the most likely scenario is that you will simply have continued decline. You will have increasing immigration of anybody who has any alternative from the afflicted countries. And ultimately, the people who remain will be pushed into increasing acts of resistance. And so this will be fought out on the streets in Athens and in Rome and other Italian cities and perhaps on the Iberian Peninsula. And at that point, who knows what will happen? But I think ultimately the leadership in the European community is pushing the populations of the South toward an increasing resistance to these policies.